Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo.
And we're here feeling very filled after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's been an interesting week. And we have George Dixon joining us tonight. He's going to be, not sure, I think he's going to be talking about multidimensional harmonics and fractal consciousness.
That's something I don't know that much about. Should we get George right on?
Yes, we should. Good evening,
George.
Good
evening, George.
Hi, folks.
How are you? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I had a great Thanksgiving, and I'm glad that you had a good one, too.
Yeah, we ate too much, I think.
Oh, it's a time to feast out.
Oh, it sure is, and we had some more today. So. I feel fortunate that we had a good Thanksgiving. I think it's important to remember that 1 in 5 Americans is going hungry.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really sad thing. And I hope that people remember to donate to food and soup kitchens, which would be a good thing. And Leo told me that you're going to talk about, what is it exactly?
About multidimensional harmonics and fractal
consciousness. Leo, you know, I got to go back, Leo, if I can, Lila.
Yeah.
Leo on Facebook, I think, wrote about, you know, the first Thanksgiving and so forth, and it's not what we hear.
I posted that this afternoon, yeah. It's pretty scary, huh?
Well, it is scary, but Leo, understand that... you know, that's just one view of it. There are other things that are going on, and you just deal with the Thanksgiving itself. You can give Thanksgiving and not having to worry about the blood that, you know, was left on a lot of hands, you know, years ago. You don't need to be part of that, but you can be thankful, you know, for what you have now.
Yeah, but I think what's interesting, though, is that what the Thanksgiving was really all about in the first celebrations was the British settlers' thankfulness about their slaughter of the Indians during that when they came over, and that was what they were celebrating, and that Thanksgiving specifically in that November, I guess, or whenever it was specifically. You know, they had just slaughtered over 700 Pequot Indians down in Connecticut here, and that's what they were. That's what the joy and celebration was all about.
It's really an insult then to Indigenous people.
Oh, it's an insult to anybody, but you know, that's what our country was grown on. And interestingly enough, you saw that video. It also stated that Abe Lincoln, he declared the first Thanksgiving, official national holiday during the Civil War, right?
Yes.
And the day after he declared it, he ordered the massacre of the Indians and massacre of Indians. It was like, you know, you want to talk about, you know, revisionist history, man.
Hypocrisy.
And revisionist history is just unbelievable, you know, especially white.
You know what, Leo?
What?
You know what? You talking about this is, you know, souring my taste in my Thanksgiving food yesterday. I mean, I had such a lovely time. But, you know, you may be right in everything you say, and I don't question it. But here again, let's deal with the truth of the matter now as we experience it, you know. Even though Abe Lincoln may have said this and say that and so forth, that doesn't mean that, I have to go along with it. At this point, you know, everything.
George, you have to know about it to not go along with it.
Well, that's not true.
Let me finish. I think that's what Leo's point is. I think we should really accurately understand our history so that we can be actively trying to change the way we are now and how we deal with things.
And not only that, when you consider that when in the 1600s, there were over 60 million indigenous people in North America.
Yeah.
Right? And today there's less than 1 million. Right?
Yeah.
That was a very, very effective genocide. poor guys off. Okay, so
I think we should remember things like that.
And being part Indian myself, I really connect with these guys and what they're saying and what they're doing. But today, you know, it's nice to go along and see that, you know, I was updating my book yesterday, and hopefully it'll be republished and updated in January. But I was watching the Macy Day Parade, you know, and I was watching it. There wasn't, you know, throughout the whole course, throughout the hour or so that I was watching, there was only one black person in the entire downtown Manhattan that they were focusing on.
That you watched?
And that was Al Roker, okay? The crazy
Roker.
Roker, I think. And, you know, he was the only guy, only black guy in the entire downtown Manhattan, okay? and he kind of was looking like he was going crazy down there. He was actually charging the band and everything, you know? All white guys walking, you know? And then all the Rockettes were all white, you know.
No,
all
they had one black girl. No,
only on NBC this morning they had it. Not in the crowd they had yesterday. And all of these things, well, just amazed me in a way afterwards. After I noticed it, I went, "This is freaking amazing," you know. Everybody in the crowd, with all these cherub-looking little children, white kids and white people, and having a grand old time, and you know. And it's like I started thinking, and I was going, you know, yeah, this is so perfect. This propaganda is so perfect. You know, it's like the great white American
That isn't what our country looks like.
No, it's totally different from that. But the thing is that's what was portrayed there in that in that parade by NBC, which we were watching.
Could I say something?
Yeah,
go ahead,
Leo. We're 7 minutes into the show, and, you know, I'm at a point now, I don't know where the show is going to take us. You know, you're leading one thing to another. You know, I was just bringing out a point that I think what happens, and this is part of the change, I think, that we're experiencing, and I want to jump back to the intro. I originally wanted to talk on quantum consciousness, but quantum belief systems, because they're all wrapped up in one. They're all telling the same story. But, you know, which story is worth holding on to? And right now, the Mayans tell us that, you know, whatever we think will manifest. And, you know, it's holding on to old ways that keep those ways real and yet keep the wheels in those tails rolling. You know, heaven knows that...
tell that to the 60 million souls that have perished in the last 200 years. Okay?
No, Leo, I don't have you. They've been informed by the generations way before me, so it's not my point at this point to carry on to continue to call them out and let them know. They know this already. So,
no,
you know, enough is enough.
I didn't know it. I've been around for quite a while. I didn't realize that was such that actually happened down there for Thanksgiving, and that's what the Thanksgiving was really all about. I had no idea, and I thought we were
grateful.
We were grateful as hell, but we just slaughtered. They were.
But I didn't know about know about that part.
Why were we so grateful? We were grateful because we were slaughtered. We had just slaughtered, 700 Indians that day, okay, and thousands and thousands of others prior to that, okay, that day. So it was like, you know, to me, the all I was saying, and since you brought it up, I felt it was important to reflect on it. But you know, we can't.
Let's reflect on the good things that they bring.
It's history, dude. America is the most. Next to Israel, possibly, but America is a myth. You know, the idea, the history of America is a myth.
I wish it were true because it's very nice.
It's a wonderful myth, you know, that's created, but it's falling apart due to, I mean, the reality, the crimes and the criminal actions.
Okay.
I mean, we're at a point never before where a president of the United States is now being considered a war criminal, okay, in the eyes of the rest of the world. Now, this is like, you know, and
but he's also known as a president of the United States, and for that we do respect him because he is our leader, if we like it or not. I mean,
George,
so, you know, instead of holding on to that, I'd rather hold on. Look at, buddy, you got the bull by the horns now. Do the best you can. And if you're, you know, a man who believes in fairness, you know, let the ethics of that job and from the voice of the people be known. And I think it has. And I think first of all, Leo, we can go into different areas, you know, of powers and governments and new world orders and so forth, and who is pulling what strings and so forth. But understand, there is a better aspect to all of this. You know, let's look at them and put it in a perspective that we can live with. You know, instead of the doom and gloom that it brings also. And that's the scenario that we're into. And this is part of that fractal belief system that's been going on for the last 26,000 years. And this is because the precession of the equinox, the movement in our consciousness at this point, we are at a high peak, and that's what's being reflected. What's being reflected, you know, through belief or religious belief systems, it's all telling the same story of salvation. And part of that is understanding the Lucifer Rebellion, which we've talked about on shows and from the past. But understand it's the evolution that we're experiencing, and they're manifesting themselves.
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, they're manifesting themselves, but there's no way. If anything, it's showing the hypocrisy and the absurdity of our system, and the insane illusion and myth that America is. When one in five people in this country is hungry, I mean physically starving, okay? All right? No, don't
Leo, interrupt me. Leo, in the eyes of the world, we have it made.
What? Not if you're the one in five that's starving, you don't have it made. I think that's a crime for a superpower.
We got about 3 million homeless people in this country right now, all right? 3 million and growing. We got almost 60 million mortgages that are about ready to foreclose. We've got almost all the major banks.
You're right. But what is this talking
what are you,
about?
What are we looking at, George? Is this fractal consciousness?
Yes, it is.
Well,
explain to us how it is. What is fractal consciousness? What do you mean by that?
All right, let's keep it simple here in the sense that we are dual in nature. We have different powers that be. I mean, we have a male, female, positive and negative. That is the makeup of physics. So we have a complete duplicate in play here, positive and negative, within ourselves. And so that's what's being played out. So any way we look at it, you know, it's dual in nature. It's not one or the other. So even our views, I mean, that's part of the lock of physics of consciousness that we're locked into. Our consciousness is restricted only by the vehicle it is using at the time. And we're using a physical body now, and we must abide by the laws. And the laws of other physics, of our physics, tell us that we are not one, we are two. But we're really three, and we can get into the unified understanding of the Trinity. But understand that we are locked into this duality, and one is not worse or better than the other. They both work in harmony, just like good and bad. You have to have both. One balances out the other one. So understand that we're going to have the good, yes, and we're going to have the bad, yes. But it's where we focus. We don't need to focus on one over the other, because here it would be an endless cause or an endless fight between the two. And we can get involved with, you know, the angelic fight that we have, you know, with Lucifer and with Michael, good angel, and the bad angel and so forth. Understand that this angel war that's been going on, this duality in relationships, just like the Anunnaki with Enlil and Enki, the duel, you know, is all by the same creator, and that creator is a creative God that we talked about. We are just an expression of that God put into three-dimensional reality, and it has to express within the confines and the laws that that abide by our way of life.
Well, that's true, but I also think there's a part of us that can recognize the injustices that are here and try to rectify them. There's nothing wrong with that, George. You can,
well,
you know, yeah. I think it's important to rectify those injustices. And in order to rectify them, you have to know what they are, which means you have to mention them and talk about them.
And you can't. I don't know about
you not only mention them and talk about them, you experience them also. You have to understand that is part of the nature that you've attached yourself to.
Don't experience them if nobody talks about them or nobody or everybody. If I tell you, George,
it makes no difference, Leo.
If I tell you, George, you're 10 feet tall. You know, you're 10 feet tall, physically 10 feet tall. Whenever I look at you, you're 10 feet tall. All right. Well, I may be looking at you from a guy who's hallucinating on LSD. All right, but you are a guy who's looking at yourself as, what, 5'8", you know what I mean? And it's like, you know that that's wrong. But then if I keep telling you that you're 10 feet tall, and all you hear is you're 10 feet tall and everybody else is 10 feet tall around you, all right, then suddenly the measuring system, the system of measurement, becomes totally false, doesn't it? When everybody starts saying, really, that 5'8" is 10 feet tall. And what I'm trying to say is, and unless you accept the reality of what we were in this example, if you accept the reality that this country was founded upon some really strange stuff going on, all right, and some very barbaric and very, very, very horrible practices, all right, and oppressive practices, then all of a sudden, 200 years later, we're angels. We're flying around as superhuman beings, you know, taking care of the world, you know, even though we're lying, because all we're doing is bombing the crap out of everybody around the world, stealing their resources, you know, raping their women and destroying their religions and, you know, and infrastructures everywhere around the world and planting bases there and poisoning their waters and destroying their, you know, their air and whatnot. And what we're doing is saying, oh, no, we're saviors. We're wonderful people, and we're flying around the world as saviors of the United States, bringing democracy to the world. Ra-di-da-da, and happy Thanksgiving. This isn't the deal, George. And you know what? I'm finding I'm not a very well-liked guy for talking the truth, and nobody was very loved by talking the truth, all right? Even Jesus Christ was crucified for talking the truth. So it's like, you know, unfortunately, you know.
So what you're saying is because everything isn't the truth, Jesus Christ is not right?
Don't always do well in the world. But that truth has to be said, and it has to be brought about, and it has to be talked about. Otherwise, everybody's flying over the edge saying, we're kings, and we're wonderful, and we're sailing, and we're angels, and we're the blessed American public, or we're the blessed Russians, or the blessed Chinese, or the blessed whoever, all right? When all they are is a bunch of corrupt, you know, crooked Cecil.
So what do you do when you're done, Leo?
That the worst of humanity.
All right.
So it's like, you know, there has to be a drawing point here. Somebody has to come along and draw the line and say what is ethical, and what is not. What is
and
real
then what?
And what is not.
And
you know,
then
and
what when they come along?
All right, when you're actually 5'6" or 5'8", all right, you know, and you believe you're 10 feet tall, you know, that's a lie. So
well, the American people are leading the story of the emperor's new clothes. That's what that's why that fairy tale was written, to wake people up, to tell them That's how you're living. Yeah. That's how your king is treating you.
And the American people are living completely on borrowed time and borrowed money. All right? I mean, you see all these morons.
And they're living very nicely, thank you.
Or this morning.
I remember that also.
People barging into the stores, running chaotically through the aisles.
There you go.
One thing that's on sale. Right, and the rest of everybody fighting over the damn thing. I mean, this is what America has become, a land of crazed people, you know, crazed consumers. You know,
by the corporations.
Pushed by the media, pushed by advertisers, pushed by the corporations.
Oh, but look at all those homeless people that are living under bridges and looking for a meal. Huh?
Sure, but yeah. You know what, honey? You know what's really weird?
But no, you know what's real is that there are places here in America that they can go, shelters and so forth, and get food and fill their bellies. But you go to Rwanda, go to Africa, go to some of those places with these kids, they're lucky if they get a half a cup of rice a day. And they talk about where we have so much poverty here in America. Right. But take a look at the world. We are fat pigs in the eyes
of
the world.
People eating out of garbage cans, dude.
That's
right.
Okay, but we have the garbage cans. Nobody else does. Remember that.
They're cutting food stamps. All right, now they're chopping out the food stamp program. All right,
yeah, all right.
There's no jobs. I mean, times are crazy, and people got their last $20 on their credit card. All right, before it maxes out, and before they all file bankruptcy and go out and buy an iPod, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, the insanity of this country has begun. I mean, it's beyond the pale, George. It's beyond anything can even comprehend. And and we're in for one huge, major awakening, all right?
Can I make a suggestion?
Non-belief awakening, all right? That you cannot go along living life without paying for it, you know? And we haven't done it. Our government doesn't do it, and our people don't do it, all right? And that's why we are in for a big awakening, all right? And the reality is, you know, the illusion or that we've been living is just that, George. It's an illusion. And
I don't understand what comes around goes around.
Well, what comes around goes around is right. But
we are holding on to this even by our fight. The negativity or the positive aspects of this, by holding on to it and continuing it, you're keeping it alive. And right now, everything...
What are we keeping alive, George?
World
what
is an illusion, and that's part of understanding.
We have to look at
that.
What in the hell are we really keeping alive?
He's saying you're keeping it alive by the way you're talking. That's what he's saying.
Keeping it alive? My God, it is alive. What you're keeping alive by talking the opposite way is the bubble, the fairy tale
I wouldn't say that, and I'll explain myself. For years now, Leo, we've been talking about the dual aspects of our consciousness, and let's deal with it from a mental aspect or from an emotional aspect, because basically those are the two elements of consciousness that we use to manipulate and live in this three-dimensional reality. So let's compare the emotional aspects of us to the imagining aspect, understanding that, you know, when a thought comes our way, first of all, it's related to the mind, and it's the mind that correlates how it feels about a thought. And from the balancing of the thought and the feeling, or the emotional aspect of it, we come up with a feeling, and the feeling is what we act on. What I'm saying is that so much of our reality is connected with the physical body and with the emotional body that we are, first of all, educated not to give credence to, a natural credence to, and this is the aspect of us that is in touch with the outside world. Now, I said before, the mind is closed off from the world, where the body or the heart, the emotions, is connected to the outside world by the body itself. I mean, it's the body that does the recording on what the temperature is, if it's too hot, it's too cold, and it tells the mind what temperature it is and so forth. And it's the mind's responsibility to correlate the information that it's dealing with, but it's the body itself that is actually in control of the situation.
But you can't control, the body can't assimilate this knowledge properly if the knowledge...
No, Leo, it can. And the reason why I say it can, it's like a thought.
It can't assimilate it properly. It's no different, George.
It can assimilate properly. It's not given the credence and the ability to do that.
If I smoke enough crack, okay, my mind will go. Will think of anything in the world wonderful. My family will be dying. My life will die. Everything around me will die.
This conversation, smoking crack.
Oh, this crack is making me feel wonderful. All right, now that's exactly what this country is in. It's in a crack high. Okay.
No. Let's keep it on a personal level here. You're going to the country now, Leo. I'm just
in Germany where they were pushing.
Let's keep it simple, my friend.
Nazi Third Reich, okay, and everybody believed the Nazis were the greatest thing, the greatest wonder in the world, okay, a thousand years, okay, and the German people were the absolute best, all right, while they were murdering millions of Jews and Polish people and gypsies and everything else, and running them into slave camps and using their labor, their slavery, to build up their own countries, okay, their own country, to build up their middle class and whatever.
And
right?
It was a fascist system.
And it was a fascist system, no different than what we have here in the United States.
I'll put on all what I was saying before, and I'll entertain this. Go ahead.
No, instead of putting a little smiley face, with a Hitler mustache on it like the Nazis did, instead we put a big Charlie Brown smiley face, you know what I mean, and say, this is a wonderful white America, all right, or wonderful America, all right? And it's not, George, and it's not.
It's the Fourth Reich, Leo.
It's
those Germans. They're
Thanksgiving aspect
controlling the world.
Farce, you know, it's a farce. And, you know, we
may not
be
a farce, my friend.
We have, and that's great. But when you convert what Thanksgiving really was to a farcical, dance by the Rockettes, I mean, it's a parade down New York, down Madison Avenue, all right? It's like, who the hell is kidding who? All right? And this is what I'm saying, George. It's not, you know, I America's a wonderful place. It's a great place to live. But right now,
like I said, I'll entertain this. You know, I can entertain that first Thanksgiving, understanding it was the law that was set out to scalp the Indians. And they did scalp the Indians, and they put their headpieces on the poles of the gates leading to their compound. And so let's look at the illusion how it was turned around, that the Indians were scalping the white men's. That is a crock of shit. So the real truth is you got to turn it around. And either way you put it, it's the control that's going to manipulate their own perspective.
It's the English.
The English paid
I say that with peace to my fellow... Indians, you know, it was terrifying what our forefathers did. And I don't hold any of that as my being or part of my wanting to be. But, you know, it is what happened. But I don't look at Thanksgiving in that way. If nothing else, I thank the Native Americans for giving us what we have. And understand, our Constitution was built on a lot of the Indian decree. But I don't want to get into that right now. But I'm just saying it's the knowledge and the way it's manipulated that will turn your tail. But understand, you know, it only tells a story. But okay, go on, Leo. you know, you get me. I have to say I am human. And, you know, what hurts me is that I look at it from an emotional aspect, and it's not only thinking and understanding about a feeling, but it's experiencing the feeling. And what I was talking about on the emotional body, understand it's the body that's in connect with the outside world. So, you know, when you meet somebody, your identification is not closed off from the world with only, you know, his name, rank, and serial number and so forth, understand that before you even come in contact with that person, your body, or let's say your higher self, is actually building some kind of dialogue that you can communicate with this other being of a same standard of knowledge. It's like two foreign people meeting for the first time, and it's that energies that are put into play while you're meeting controlling, if nothing else, the illusion that is being held on to not only you, but also the person you're in contact with. And when I say the illusion, we all psychic, we've talked about this, and it's just another way that we communicate with the outside world is by feeling it, and it's instantaneous. It's beyond time. Look at it from a mental point of view. When I say love, that can go around the world 6 or 7 times with the speed of light. But understand that the emotional body is 10 times faster. But that is not restricted by time. But that is the other aspect of our human nature and the sentinel being has attached itself to, that we have the power to communicate and to use at our will. And it's why great men in this world, it's all done by the imagination, the imagination put into movements. And understanding now with the ethical understanding that we've been through for the last couple of years, it's the ethics of our movement and consciousness in becoming co-creators of this world. But it's part of the evolution that we're experiencing.
George, this is what bothers me, and I have to be honest. This is
a lot of things are going to bother you, Leo. So
no, listen to what I'm saying. This is what bothers me: that if you are building some kind of co-creation consciousness, all right, what are we building it on? What are we building that on? I mean, are we building it on falsehood? Are we building it on barbarism? Are we building it on?
That black stuff, black matter,
and fascism? Are we building it upon? What are we building? And if you look at what the society, what the world is going toward, and the way that it's being herded, and pushed and goaded into this dream or into this vision, okay, of co-creationism. What are we co-creating? We're co-creating a fascist new world order. We're co-creating the genocide of 3/4 of the world population, okay, based upon the Illuminati goals, okay, the goals, and they're pushing that vision upon us, and that vision is slowly and surely happening. I mean, one of the great telltale signs of that, okay, is the madness, the insanity of these shoppers on Black Friday, all right? The madness of it, the insanity of it is beyond the pale, George. It's beyond the pale of any kind of comprehensive, rational thought, okay? Because people are waiting 24 hours in bitter cold.
How about 7 days?
Let me ask you, what is a rational thought? What do you mean by rational thought?
Let me finish what I'm saying. They're waiting like insane, obsessed, insane people, okay, out there, waiting in tents, okay, so that they get 50% off toilet paper, for crying out loud, or some kind of a 3D disco, television set. I mean, the absurdity and insanity of it is so bizarre. It's beyond the comprehension of any rational mind. All right?
Isn't it fun to watch, Leo?
And then to gloss over it with Thanksgiving, okay, or to gloss over the whole thing with some patriotic roar of righteousness, okay, is absolutely beyond me how it can be.
Now they're starting shopping on Thanksgiving Day.
Well, now they're on Thanksgiving Day, they're on Thanksgiving night, they're 24 hours a day till Sunday, till Christmas. You know, they want every conceivable possible drop of creditized
money. What's wrong with that? Come on, what's wrong with that?
what's wrong with it?
The season of things, you know, it's all the season.
Well, what's wrong with it isn't so much the from the aspect of the realtor.
What's it about?
The retailer, okay? What's wrong with it is the insanity of the consumer. That, you know, their desire for material items for these stupid
That's
things.
From your perspective, Leo. It sounds to me like they're having a hell of a good time. But I know. I know. In watching people, go to these sales, and you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. I'm just saying, I'm not doing it, but watching other people do it, it's great.
Why is it I find it horrific. I find it horrible to watch people barging into stores, running a helter-skelter all over the place.
Fighting with each
other. Leo. That's okay.
Last year at Walmart, the poor bastard that opened the door, you know, got trampled by 100 people.
Yes, that did happen. That did happen. And you know what? I've also found out that a person opened the door in an airplane and fell out and died. Do you believe that? It happens, you know. Come on, Leo. Get into the fun of things. You know, it's what practical consciousness tells us that
Walmart
understanding
getting his head
going out at the same time. All these different illusions.
Pound, you know,
it's just like one illusion is better than the other.
Okay, you know, like bulls, okay, in a stampede. That's fun, George. That's no
sure
fun.
It is.
That's
sure it is, Leo.
That's the
sure it is.
That's like with that.
But you know what? What makes it fun is holding on to it. And if you're going to hold on to it, you know, it's your choice. You're going to hold on to it from a negative perspective or from a positive perspective. It's just like taking a look at 9/11. You can take a look at that from a positive point of view or one from a negative point of view. And I just picked this to see how far I can get your blood rolling tonight. Understand that a lot of good things came out of 2011.
Here's another thing. Did you know that Walmart puts life insurance policies on all of the, or did? They stopped it now after they were sued. But they, even last year, you got to wonder if what they did is they put life insurance policies on all of their employees. So
most of whom are disabled or sick or something.
But what and what it was like it was hedging. The person that didn't get anything, all right? You know what I mean? The person who dies, their family doesn't get anything. Walmart gets the money, all right? There was a case where some young woman in her 20s died of cancer who worked for Walmart. Walmart got $5 million.
Who do you blame? Who do you blame on that? Do you blame the employee or the employer?
This is what the kind of corporation Walmart is, but it's not just Walmart. They're doing it. Do you know there's actually an entire fund that is insuring that has life insurance on the military people? All right, and it's put out there, and they're actually betting. They're actually investing in health in the life insurance on these guys. Okay.
Leo, you're right, but understand life insurance, any type of insurance is a bet that this can happen or that could happen. And that's all it is.
Yeah, but it doesn't
betting
benefit.
On how long you have.
And it benefits a corporation who's hedging bets, okay,
them in harm's
that those
way.
Guys are going to die, all right?
And sending them in harm's way.
Right, and then pressuring
the insurance company's business is no... everything about people and how they die.
Okay.
And the possibilities of them dying.
And under stressful conditions, and then they die. Okay. So,
yes,
but it's
a gamble on both parts. I mean, the insurance company could win or they could lose, you know? I mean,
sure, but they.
But the odds are stacked, just like in Vegas, I'm sure, with the slot machines and yada yada. You know, I'm not saying for sure, but, you know, it's in the favor of the house. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that my life's worth more than a slot machine or some.
yeah, I guess it is, Leo.
Racehorse or some secret insurance policy that some guy's got on me and on my life. Okay, now it's like this is really, really a sick thing, George. But I mean, getting
it
back.
It is. And I'm not giving it light, but go ahead, Leo. It sounds good, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get back to the original topic, all right, of fractal consciousness or multidimensional harmonics, okay, then let's look at it from this way. Okay, we're dealing right now with obviously at least two different outlooks, ways of looking at things, your way and my way, okay, and Lila's way. That's three. So, I mean, that's multidimensional, if you will, on the same topic or on the same reality. My reality states that what I see as reality is what I've just stated. What you see as reality is what you just stated, which is, you know, happy Thanksgiving. And what Lila just, you know, Lila's got her own view of this. So we're dealing with multidimensional realities, okay, based on different different knowledge, okay, different views different experiences.
And I personally think in some ways they're all correct, because there's a correct, and I think there's many different realities going on at the same time.
There are.
Many
there are.
Different
I
realities.
Mean,
going
I on. You're right, dear. You're right.
Tremendous wealth beyond belief. I mean, they're sitting on billions of dollars and nothing wrong. And then there are others that are homeless, and there are others that are middle income, and there are others that are whatever. There are millions and millions of people
I also believe that the people that believe these realities really believe them, they can believe them entirely, but not be correct.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they won't be correct. They're not correct. Correct in your
neighborhood. It's like the old saying.
Neighborhood is correct.
If a tree falls in the forest and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a sound? All right?
No. Did it fall?
Or did it fall? Yeah.
All right. But Leo, who's to say one is better than the other?
Oh, there is always one that's more correct than the other, George, I believe.
Well, you know, you look in the woods, right? You go in any woods and you'll see fallen trees, right? That it's a reality. That I mean, you can't go past that reality. It's there. I mean, that's part of life. It is death and decay. But but somewhere, all right, if we were there and saw the tree fall, all right, we would have heard it fall and seen it tumble and whatever it is and heard it. But, of course, we're not there, you know, and maybe no animal or anybody else was around when it fell. All right.
Now, you may be thinking about trees, but you know what I'm thinking about?
Still makes
I'm thinking
noise.
About, and I know, and I think just experiencing life, that reincarnation has come to an end, and it's something that I not only know, but I really believe, and I really see it, you know, with, I think, the end times that I'm living and I'm going through. You know, understand that this reincarnation was only put into our consciousness, our perspective, about maybe 16,000-17,000 years ago. And part of that was basically to hold on to the faith that the people of the time were experiencing in the precession of the equinox. Now understand that it was a time of coming out of the dark, coming out of the darkness. That's basically is a cycle that we experience.
But it was based on observation by people seeing this unusual intelligence and wondering, you know, in infants and in children, what happened, seeing the
that's been recorded, you know,
yeah,
not only
you know,
the
it
Mayans.
Is like how they identify the Dalai Lama, you know, it's like they know that he was the reincarnation of the whatever by the baseball and this and that and whatever, all right? And there's certain predetermined knowledge that they have, or preternatural, they call it, knowledge that we have as human beings, and that knowledge is like, wow, where did this come from? How did this work? And then we develop this remarkable power of synchronicity, which seems to lead us to different people and different circumstances and different places in our lives that we say, this is deja vu. Where do we know this? Well, this, we've been here before. We've met you before. We identify this. And so that's because of those experiences by billions and billions of people. You know, they've come to the understanding that the possibility of reincarnation, the possibility of immortality, all right? And,
well, I'm looking for the masters and what the masters did do, because what they did do, because humanity was in such a state because they were closed off from the outside world.
Right.
And being closed off, they didn't have the ability to hook on to, let's say, a collective consciousness. So what happened is reincarnation was built into the system that when you did die, there was still salvation where you can experience or complete your spiritual trip in three-dimensional reality by taking on a physical form without losing your soul and your spirit. Now, understand that it wasn't until after the last great cataclysm that we had was 9772 BC, that at that time is where the Earth stopped and rotated in the opposite direction, but it was a time that all our memories were erased and we were completely closed off. So, and what Thoth did and some of the great masters did at that time is gave us a way to communicate with the outside world, and that was through reading and writing and so forth. But you see, that's only communicating with the outside world from a mental aspect,
mm-hmm.
and understanding that this physical, this spiritual aspect is also part of our spiritual experience that we will be experiencing in a three-dimensional. And this is where the organized religions come into be, with the understanding that you can connect with a spiritual side, which is the unity consciousness connection that we all share. And understanding that the collective consciousness that has been built up in this for thousands and thousands of years is manifesting itself, regardless of other people's beliefs that, you know, it's not their way of living or religion and so forth. Understanding it's true, but you have to give credence to these group of people or thought mindset that they have the right for their fulfillment of their quest. And what I was saying before about karma, understand that karma was only used to have people have faith in the system or faith in this reality, and understanding that this is just one aspect or a aspect of experiencing physical reality. And, you know, we can get into other life forms that are physical in nature but are less dense than we. But that's a different show. But understand that we do have the right to ascend, and understanding that we in ascending, we can go from one life form to another without losing consciousness, and that is part of this three-dimensional flux that we're in right now. This is only temporary, but this, I believe, is what the Mayans and a lot of the elders talk about as the end times, end of this experience as we know it. And we know there are other beings that are on a higher scale than ourselves because the records they've left behind and the connections that we've had with them has been made known and understood.
How much interaction do you think there is right now between superior races and ourselves, or superior beings in ourselves?
Well, I think it's a recognition of the others, recognition of this physical world that they live in too. Understand that now it's a matter of being able to build some kind of a relationship that they can relate to, that they both can understand. But understand that that is only one form of consciousness. What we have the ability to do now is leave this physical form of reality, which is not locked into time and space. And it's like stepping outside the box. Understand that this whole universe, with all the galaxies and billions and billions and billions of stars, that is just one aspect. But we have the chance to, let's say, step out of that box that this whole world, as we understand it, is, and go into something altogether different. And in looking at how large that area would be compared to, let's say, our reality now, it's like the 10%, 90% that we see, and that 90% is all black space or black matter. We're only experiencing 10% of that matter, and that is light matter, if you'd want to call it that. And we're only seeing 10% of the total picture, and this has been proven by physics. And understand that even our consciousness, we can be in two places at the same time. Matter can be in two places at the same time. And
right.
People like Carlos Castaneda's, you know, with some of the earlier teachings, talk about Don Juan, who
right.
split his consciousness off from five to six different places at the same time. And understand that is the ability that we as consciousness beings and through dimension can experience and have experience. But in the progression of the equinox, understand that, you know, the energies that are is built around us wanes and waxes.
What I wonder about is where are the guides to help us during this time in this transition? You don't hear much about that.
Yeah, but Lala, I don't think we need the guides. I think the guides we have already, which is our higher selves, and the angels that attach themselves to us. But understand, this is my illusion that I hold on to, and I mean no harm by this, but I do believe that there are angelic beings and even family members who passed over that, you know, I'm still connected with, and I will be, just by holding the thoughts and the emotional feelings. Anyways,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that we need anybody to interpret the way. I think we know the way. We've been this way before, and we're just remembering or waking up and using the knowledge that we have. And that knowledge is discernment in the world around us. We know what is right, and we know what is wrong. We really do. And I do believe that at times like this, I'm just learning things I already know. And somewhere along the path, you know, an hour, a day from now, I could see it in motion by the synchronicity in the way my life is turning out, or the events in my life, including the events in my life 2 days from now, and relating back to this moment right now we're talking. There is some kind of an energy or a power that I have with this reality, and we've talked before about we creating this illusion that we're living,
mm-hmm.
and I do believe that we have that power. You know, if I have that power as some kind of an entity to hold this world around me, and that's including the telephone, the computer in front of me, and the flashlight that I use to see places where I can't, it's amazing that I can hold these things together, because without them, without these things, they wouldn't. They would just disappear. And, you know, I want to go back to understanding why the ancients build with stone, is because that's one of the things that are the last that will actually return to its elements in which it came, which is earth. And
mm-hmm.
understand that when the consciousness or the energies that hold something together are no longer there, it doesn't exist. It just falls apart. And, you know, you want to go back to, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago, why, you know, things, bridges and so forth are not left behind. But understand that some of the belief systems or the objects that were held on to at that time are no longer, there's no energies holding them together to keep them what they are. They just disappear. So understand, this is one of the obstacles that we face when we have some of these polar shifts or these magnetic reversals, because it's like a hard drive of a computer. You know, if you erase the memory, you erase everything. So what you have to do is you have to reload in, you know, the programs, and understand that in the last since 3114 BC is, you know, let's deal in short time with you, with the Mayans, that what we've been doing is actually reprogramming our computer, and some of the technologies that we have, if you look at them, they're really like a stair step technology, and it's just remembering the things we knew in the past. So I'm rambling on here, and
well, that's okay. I was agreeing with you on that part.
Fractal consciousness or fractal belief systems. You know, it's all an understanding. Once you go and reach your objective, or you know, just bring your objective to a focus point. What do you do with it after that? You have to let it go because there's nothing more you can do to it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would agree with that. Yep.
Oh, I'm saying that you're right, just like the first Thanksgiving. I can hold on to some of these things, but, you know, I'm thankful, and I was exceptionally thankful for this Thanksgiving holiday because I had a nice, small, intimate time with my family. Had a lot of food. The weather was pretty good, and everybody had a great time. And I even sat down and had a bowl of cornflakes. So you know, it was a grateful time for me, and that's the good aspect, or that's the aspect of the Thanksgiving that I brought to mind. And when I seen Leo, you're writing in Facebook and so forth, or making reference to it, you're right. You're 100% right. But you know what? I'd rather not. I do acknowledge it, but I'd rather not. And the reason why is because I look for those good things in life, and I don't have any time for battles and so forth if I can help it. And I'd rather think this way. So I'm sorry if I'm different from what you expect or you'd want me to be. But what can I say?
No, everybody, no, you have a right to your reality. I think what Leo is saying is that you can't forget what the truth is. I agree with you. I celebrate Thanksgiving in exactly the same way you do.
What if we not said anything and just let it die out, you know?
No, I think we have to remember so we don't repeat.
Okay. All right.
But I celebrate my own Thanksgiving in a very personal way, and I'm very grateful for what I have. And that's how I think of it. But I don't like to forget that history was rewritten and that's the way it was at that time. And I hope we don't repeat those things. That's what I don't want.
And again, I'm not diminishing your Thanksgiving.
Or my own.
But all I'm saying is that, you know, unless we remember and unless we know the facts, all right, then we'll continue to be bamboozled by our governments and by those people that are out to do us harm. Okay, and
you're right, Leo. But you know, from my aspect, I give credence to it. But instead of getting graphic, I'd rather agree with it and go on instead of having to be replayed out because some people. They go through it not only mentally but emotionally, and I'd rather not go through it emotionally, being an empath, and it's just my nature. So
let me ask you this though, the last question: do you usually lock your doors at night before you go to bed?
No, I don't, Leo.
You don't?
I don't.
Okay,
but you have to understand, I live by the precepts of Semper Fi, my friend. You understand what that is?
No, but if you don't lock your doors, that's cool. But one night, there's going to be somebody, who may take advantage of that, all right? I always lock my doors, before I go to bed. let the dog out, let him in, lock the door, all right? Just normal for me. But that's only because I don't trust the rest of the world out there while I'm sleeping, all right? I don't trust them while I'm awake either, but, you know, I trust them less while I'm sleeping. So, you know, at least I got a barrier between them and me at night. But you know.
Anyway, we've come to the end of our show, and let's end with one positive note.
I think the whole show was very good,
Lila, because we stuck. You know, we stuck with this Thanksgiving and understanding Thanksgiving, but different perspectives. As I said from the beginning,
everybody has their own reality, and it's true for them. Some more true than others.
Sure. I think we're able to say a bit, I think, on fractal consciousness, which, you know, I basically is a theme that we've been following, you know, for the last couple of months and so forth, which, you know, I want to continue. Now we're in the seventh day, folks, and
that's great.
It's great times.
And I hope you wish your whole family a happy Thanksgiving thought from me and from Leo.
Yeah,
and we're thinking about you guys. And I send all that out to the rest of our listeners, too.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you very soon.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
All right, George. Have a good one.
Thanks. Good night, now.
Good night.
And I want to thank all the listeners for, you know, joining us here.
And bearing with us.
This is the fourth, this is our fourth anniversary show this week. We started Blog Talk Radio on November 22nd, I think, or November 23rd, 2006. November 23rd, 2006.
We're a decade behind there, Leo.
And so we are four years on, and we're celebrating, I think, our 75,000th listener. So we want to thank you so much for that, for your support, and I want to thank our guest George Dixon, who's helped us keep the show going on Friday nights for the last 4 years.
He came on strong tonight, George.
That is great. And mind you, George and I like to duke it out with George on some of these esoteric concepts, but we...
They're really great friends.
But I love George, and so does Lila. And we wish you the very best holiday, and we'll be back next Wednesday.
That's right.
And don't forget our WQQQ.com show on Tuesday night. Okay, every Tuesday night. You can tune that in on the Internet. We broadcast live from our radio station in Lakeville, Connecticut on WQQQ 103.3 FM. And I hope you join us. So have a pleasant Thanksgiving and weekend.
Yep. I hope you enjoy the rest of the holiday. All right. Good night, folks.
Good night.